Well, I'm catching up with Tim Clark, the new president at Tour Edge Golf. And, you know, as we sit here today, Tim, in your office, and we look outside at a couple of inches of snow on the ground, I'm sure you're thrilled to be back in the Midwest, having moved out of Florida and back here in your roots in Illinois.
Yeah, Rory, these are the days where you wonder what you're doing. But no, I love being back in Chicago. Tour Edge is a lot of exciting things going on here. I think, you know, I always say rather be, you know, right time, right place. Better, you know, that makes a big difference in your career. I've been very lucky in my career. And this one really is a perfect opportunity for my background, what I've done in golf and the people I know. So we're off to a fast start. We got a lot of cool things coming, my friend.
Well, tell us a little bit about how this all started. What owner David Glott had to do to get you out of Florida to bring you back to Illinois, and what worked for you to get out of what you were doing in the golf apparel world after you left Wilson to come over here and join Tour Edge Golf.
Yeah, well, first of all, the apparel experience was fantastic. You know, Perry Ellis, I mean, they're probably the top four golf apparel producers. They have the Nicklaus brand. I personally was running Penguin and Callaway brands for them. They have the PGA Tour brand. They just have a lot of things going on. So it was a great place to go after my departure from Wilson to just kind of see a different side of the business and learn something new. The apparel business, Rory, is so different, right? It's, I mean, you know, winter, fall, spring, summer, winter, you know, just it's constant. And I had two brands. So it was fast paced, a lot of fun. I learned a lot. Perry Ellis, world class manufacturer, unbelievable what they can do and how fast they do it. But yeah, so David had reached out to me. We've had a brief conversation. And, you know, quite honestly, was in Florida, started moving in towards May, and I was kind of like, maybe I'll hear him out. You know, it's a good time to come back north. And ultimately, we agreed that this was a really good fit. You know, he wanted somebody to kind of be more front of glass on the sales, marketing, and brand building side. And, you know, obviously, Tour Edge makes world-class products. They have done it for 40 years. Mm-hmm. So that's something he does really well. And we felt this would be a really good marriage to accelerate the growth of the company.
Well, Tim, I know that when you were at Wilson, and still to this day, Wilson still makes one of the finest irons out there on the market anywhere in the world. And I know you would try different things, including driver versus driver on the Golf Channel to sort of up the presence maybe Wilson needed on the driver and on the wood side. Over here, Tour Edge, their woods have such a great reputation, and the hybrids do. But I know a lot of Tour Edge players who love the woods, and maybe the jury's still out for them a little bit on the iron side. So does that give you an area here where you maybe put your hooks in a little bit more and try to build up the Tour Edge iron side to the outstanding reputation that their woods have and the drivers?
Yeah, Rory, yeah, it's pretty interesting, you know, to make the transition from Wilson to here. You know, we always struggled at Wilson to sell metal woods, just the reality of it. You know, maybe in all reality, after I played some Tour Edge products now, our woods just weren't very good over there compared to what they've figured out to do here, specifically with the exotic line and the performance. But when you look at the world, you know, they sell a lot more woods at Tour Edge than Wilson ever sold. They sell less iron. So, you know, when you look at that and you look at my background, clearly that's a point where I think we can really accelerate our success in irons. Now, the one thing they have done is they make some really good game improving irons, the E725 and now the X, which is a little bit of a wider sole super game improvement. They're really pretty good. But what we're going to kind of focus in on is a little bit the industrial design, some of the lofting structures when we move into kind of the player's distance category and obviously the player's category, which is where you do get a lot of feedback from consumers that things maybe could be a little better. So those are things that are in process. We got a great R&D staff back here. Obviously, David knows a lot about metal woods and iron. So, and I think with the team we have in place, I think you'll see some pretty cool things. I think we're off to a great start this year with the E725. It's a great iron for game improvement. And the X is a super game improvement product. But as you see next cycle, you see some more player stuff coming for us. And that's really a big focus for me.
Well, Tour Edge has really made a good splash on the market with the senior tour players. And there's, you know, several guys that have been winning out there with Tour Edge products. One of them is maybe the biggest winner of all time on that tour, Bernhard Langer. And he's still winning. And I know that not only is he winning with Tour-Edge products, and maybe you can break down a little bit about what he's got in his bag from Tour-Edge, but he's also influenced your latest line of wedges. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, Bernard, I mean, you got to, when you look at the history of golf, and I came from a franchise that, you know, and Langard was with the Wilson when I was first arrived, so was familiar with him. You're talking about just a guy that is a world-class player and a world-class person, and he is German, as most people know, and he is meticulous. That's very common, you know, in my global travels. Germans are very meticulous, and so I would say in my career, Padraig Harrington was probably the most meticulous guy I ever saw with product. I would say Langer is right with him. I mean, he has a lot of input on the wedges that we designed. The no offset wingman, where he liked the kind of the way it sits flat and not really any onset, almost more of an offset, which if you go back through the wedges, that'd be more in line with, say, the JP wedges from the Wilson old days when they were dominant on tour. So those are some of the things. But in Bernard's bag, currently he's got the irons in the bag. The hybrid goes in and out depending on conditions. The big excitement we're working on is the new 725C3 wood has tested exceptionally well. And the new driver 725C has tested very well. So clearly as players are playing, especially with him coming back from an injury at a short season, he blew his Achilles. To have a recovery like that at the age of 67 is pretty darn spectacular. I mean, I know you've had some health stuff, Rory, and 2016, I had a major health neck issue. And I'll tell you, recovering from injuries as you're a little older, when you're not 21, takes a little extra time. So I look at it, you know, but so getting a player to switch, as you know, when they're moving into the Schwab Cup season, they're not really tinkering with anything. So we're excited. So we got this off season. You know, the goal for us as we move into 2025 is to see that driver, the fairway, obviously the hybrid in and out. And then, of course, he has the bag of irons. And then, of course, depending on the conditions, the wedges are in play.
What is Tour-Edge's, shall we say, footprint on the Champions Tour? I mean, there's four or five guys. We see them in your ads. We know who those people are. But does the product run a little deeper throughout the tour? Are there other guys who don't have maybe the high-profile advertisement deal that still have maybe a club or two of Tour-Edge in their bag?
Yes, and that's the secret. I always say the secret of success is, you know, proven performance at the elite level. And what you'll see, like on the Champions Tour, we have about 18 different players playing something we do, right? Some of that may be a little older, some of it may be some of the new stuff. So our goal on the Champions Tour is always to take care of our staffers, right? And that's the four main guys we talk about in market. But the reality is we're always out there trying to get product into bags. I think the other thing that's been fun is, you know, since I've come over, I have probably, if you look at the turnaround of Wilson and what had to happen, the biggest thing I had to do at Wilson was kind of get the brand more upstairs and secondarily get it more young. And, you know, we accomplished that pretty well in my tenure. We're kind of facing a little bit of a similar formula, right? We got a great Champions Tour presence, but the reality is we got to pivot a little bit. And I'm not talking about going after, you know, the young kid or the college kid right now. But I do think we got to pivot and get some appearance with some of the better players. And what's been fun since I came over, some of my relationships with some of the Korn Ferry players that we had either at Perry Ellis or obviously that I signed at Wilson are open to trying some things. So, you know, my goal right now is to let's continue to do what we do well, which is what we got with our ambassadors on the Champions Tour, but we are looking to get products into play on other tours. And then as we do that, my next play would be to look to bring on an ambassador or two on probably the PGA and the Korn Ferry Tour so that we can talk about it and the LPGA Tour, because then you're telling a story that we make great stuff for Champions players, we make good stuff for solid tour players, and then obviously, make no mistake, the ladies market is getting more important. You can see behind me, we've got a lot of women's projects in the works, and they are a big part of the game. And if you look at the COVID boom, the women were probably the most important part of that growth.
Well, when you look at the ladies game, there always seems to be the latest, greatest, newest Korean woman golfer coming over here. Tour-Edge building a footprint over in the Far East markets, because the drive for the game over there is just seems to be as crazy as ever.
Yeah, we do have a presence in Korea. Right now, when we look at the business for Tour Edge, and again, I think it's about, I would call us, if I was going to describe the business levels, Wilson was an international brand. It was everywhere. We are a multinational brand. So the key for us is to pick the markets where we can win, Rory. And really, for us, we're having a great run in Australia. Unbelievable. The brand is on fire there. We're having a very strong growth and I would call it a little bit of resurgence in identity in the UK. We're looking for some opportunities currently with Central Europe. But the Asian market is unique because it's driven by Japan. That's the real big monster. Korea's number two, but Japan's one. And now all of a sudden you got this evolving China market, which everyone's kind of watching, trying to figure out, how the communist regime is going to manage that. That was probably something that worked out well for Wilson since they're, owned by Onto Sports, a Chinese brand. They had a lot of ease getting to a very closed market. For us, it's not quite as easy. So we're going to focus on Korea. We're going to get that going and then use those tentacles to probably move us more into like the Thailands and other areas that way versus maybe China or Japan out of the gate.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at clubs, and we've talked a little bit about woods and irons, there seems to be a real change in the movement on putters. And whether it's Lab Golf or a couple other companies that are building that kind of stuff, it seems like they've made suddenly a bigger footprint in the market. And other companies that never had that kind of stuff are now having to respond to it. A couple years ago, Tour Edge came out with Wingman. Where is that going? And what do you plan to do with the putters? Are we looking at the bigger square putters? Are you going to go with maybe some of the offshoot, the putter shafts on some of these? They're not straight up and down anymore. They're a little on an angle. Some of the putters seem to set up with more of a forward press built into them. Where do you go with putters? What do you change? What's happening there?
Yeah, well, the Wingman's been a very successful putter line for us since its introduction. So we're going into Generation 3, which is in development. Those were all very high OMI design putters to give the player very much stability, which is kind of the current movement. Now, the one thing, you've been doing this a long time, Rory, and so have I. The hardest part is if you look at where things are today, and you start moving towards there, by the time you get there, usually it starts going a different direction. So we're happy with where Wingman sits. It's not on the super high MOI side, but it's a very good product. It's got a nice following. So we're going to continue our efforts around that. You'll see us probably dabble in some of the little bigger heads in this next line, but I don't see us getting to, say, the Labs extreme there. I personally, think that as we've seen in golf, we're seeing it right now. A perfect example is Metalwoods, right? 7, 11, 13, 9, those are hot. Hybrids slowing down, right? So, of course, we've ramped up that part of the business, and we have a very strong hybrid business. So while we're seeing the gains over here, we're actually seeing some of that being a player transition. So, but we've seen that before in the past where Metalwoods, 7 and 11 woods got hot. And then all of a sudden, it's back to hybrids, and then it's driving irons. So part of this game of managing golf equipment companies is kind of not looking at where things are today, but anticipating where they're going. And that's really kind of what my job is, to set the 1-3-5-year plan on our product cycles, what is our target consumer, and how we're going to win. I will say, boutique putter companies have an advantage because that's all they do, right? I mean, 100%, you look at the Bettinardis, and you look at the people having success, Labs. Our main focus is playing equipment first, and putters is a secondary item. So I think anytime you look at that, if you don't have that putter boutique business, Scotty Cameron, Odyssey, something that really is a standalone in the category, it's very hard to break through. Same with Wilson, very hard to break through. We're very comfortable. The nice thing about being at Tour Edge is we got a big runway to grow, Rory. We can take share. We can do some cool things. We're nimble. We're assembled in the United States. We have 48-hour custom turnaround. We have a lifetime warranty. We have more consumer benefits than most brands offer in one. We have like 5 that are unheard of. So those are kind of the things we're going to build on. Putter business is interesting. We're watching it. I would say we're going to compete in it, but we're not looking to take a leadership role in it.
you talk to people about golf clubs. Where can they go? Where can you make a gain? And some companies will tell you, well, we've reached some limits in some areas based on the USGA and what's legal and what isn't. But they will tell you that the one place that golfers can still really make a difference in their game is make sure they're fitted for the proper shaft. How much has Tour Edge looked at putting the right shafts in their club heads and what's under the grip and so forth to get the most out of what they have so that your players are still seeing improvement, not just from what you're putting in the head of that club, but to what's the rest of that club?
Well, that's, you know, that I always say, you know, the shaft is the engine of the golf club. And nothing more important than the right shaft. And if you look at what we do here, if you look at the new launch of the E725 Exotics family, we have the Denali shaft and the Cypher shaft, right? Two very different characteristics. And we tested a bunch of shafts before we made the selection. These two happen to be UST shafts, right? So they're from the same family. But the reality is the shaft does dictate play, and it's super important. Probably, I'll say this, probably more important in your metalwoods, driver fairways, than it is in irons, because, you know, specifically in the steel products, you got a lot more variables when you're dealing with graphite, the way the graphite's rolled, the flex points, the kick points. Obviously, in irons, we have, and if you look at Tour Edge, one of the things is our free upcharge list is pretty extensive. If you want something here and you want a special shaft, more than not, we offer it and at a very reasonable consumer value. So what I'd say here is every player should get fit. It's, you know, I mean, we were at PGA Tour Superstore last week just for a meeting, and they were saying 75% of the irons they're selling now are custom fit. That's pretty impressive, because you think if I go back to 10 years ago, you know, we would sell almost 80% of our irons that went out of Wilson were standard, right? Stock. And so that game's changing. We have a world-class custom fitting studio here. We build clubs in 48 hours upon arrival. They ship with it. I mean, that's all year long. So in the spring market, when, you know, our competitors are quoting 2 and 3 weeks, David Glott has done an amazing job with this factory to be able to flex it up and flex it down to keep that 48-hour window solid. But I would say, yes, every golf consumer, once they get a swing they can repeat, should go in for a fitting for that next set of irons or woods, just to make sure they're maximizing their performance.
The next wave of golfers, they're out there already. They're called the junior golfers. What's going to be the approach here towards junior golf from Tour Edge?
Yes, that's a very, you know, we're having a lot of wins in junior golf. So we make a world-class junior line. We do it by size. So our vision for junior golf is very much, you know, buy it for their height. A lot of companies like to just do one size and they charge the same price, same sticks. We actually change the amount of clubs, you know, because a small golfer just can't generate enough head club speed to change his distance when he goes from a 5 to a 7 iron, let's say, or a 7 to 9. So what we've done is we've optimized that development. We have a great program from peewee to what we call the varsity, which is the teen player. And those sets basically start at 139, and the top price is about 239. Very successful candidate, very important to us, and you'll see us putting a lot of effort into it. Going into this fall drive for all the Chicago golf clubs, we got a great program on our juniors that we're launching to get that in shop. Obviously, juniors has been one of the successful things with the PGA League. It's been fantastic, right? It's made junior golf more fun for maybe the player that doesn't want to go into the serious IJGA program and they just want to play, but they don't want to, you know, they don't want to dedicate their life to it. So we think juniors is a runway that we can play in, and we're looking forward to kicking off our program for 25 and seeing how it goes.
Talk about the Tour Edge emphasis on price point. You've always tried to stay a little below what some companies are charging, and more golfers are starting to say, I can't spend $600 for a driver. I can't spend $500 for a putter. I can't spend $2,000 plus for a set of irons. But it seems like you've been able to deliver, and Tour Edge has been able to deliver solid product at a little bit under those numbers. So what's the message out there to the golfers who still want to play? They want to play a lot, but they got to do it within their budget.
Yeah, and I always say, you know, price value relationships are a consumer decision. You know, from a brand, you take a position. Our position, and this is something I've spoken extensively about, our position is to make the best possible product we can make, right? And then once we make that product, then we'll dictate where it prices. But the reality is, you know, the new 725 10K driver, which is the 10K is the MOI and the E driver, great performing product. We had a lot of meetings on this, and you know, as everything has gotten, you know, north of 500 on drivers going into 25, we did make a decision that we wanted to put this driver where we felt we could take advantage of that inflationary market that everybody's feeling. And it's not just golf, it's grocery stores, it's tough. So we made a conscious decision to put this driver out at $399, Rory, which is an amazing price for a new launch product. I'm super excited about it because the product works. Number one, it performs, it's adjustable, it has interchangeable weights for draw and fade bias. So this thing does everything that all these big boys are doing out there at $599 and above, but it gives the player an alternative. And I think, you know, as I said, goal number one is world-class equipment. Pricing is a secondary thing, but of course, we don't spend the money on the advertising level of a Callaway or TaylorMade. So we're always going to look at that pricing as an advantage for us because we don't have that overhead investment. So we can actually take that $20 million that Callaway spends on their new name, and we can take that $20 million and we can actually pass it on to the consumer in the way we market. So those are the gives and takes, but I'm very comfortable. But again, world-class product is the key to success in golf. We know that 80% of golf rounds by a player are played at the same golf course. So if you give him a driver that's short, you're dead to him for 10 years. He won't even consider you. You give him an iron that doesn't go as far as his old iron, you're done to him because they know how far they hit from that tree or that marker or whatever it is on their course. So product performance will be our number one thing always here. And then obviously pricing will be an advantage, I think, just because of the nimbleness and the size and scale that we don't have the overheads that a lot of the big brands have.
Well, Tim, people will probably say you didn't come here and you didn't take the job you did just to be another face in the front office. They're going to say, well, what do you want to do here? What's going to be your stamp on Tour Edge during your time here in this role?
Well, you know, you touched on it earlier. I think this opportunity at Tour Edge is really special to me in regards to, I don't want to sound arrogant, but, you know, when I got to Wilson Golf, they were going to close. They were shutting it down. It was over. Golf was over. And I look at what I was able to accomplish with the team there and turn that back into a brand that's going to survive and thrive. And I look at this opportunity a little differently. I look at this opportunity that there are no, at Wilson, there was a lot of guardrails. You know, we were owned Amer Sports. We had a sister brand. So it was hard to do some of the things I wanted to do. I did a lot, but I couldn't do everything. This opportunity, it's a, you know, privately owned U.S. success story with an owner that wants to accelerate. So I am super excited about this opportunity. And I think what you will see when I decide to turn over the keys to the next person, what you will see is Tour Edge being a much broader known brand, not only in the United States, but globally. You will see a brand that now is going to start transcending, and you touched on it, from being a solid producer in the metalwood category to a full-line golf company. And I think the next 5 years of Tour Edge Golf, I will say, it's going to be a brand to watch.
Thanks for joining us here with Golfers on Golf.
Thank you for having me.